are now listening to the Lifting Standards Podcast, where we interview trainers, nutritionists, and inspirational individuals with the goal of providing personal and professional growth in every episode. Now, here's your host, Dalton Nicholas.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Lifting Standards Podcast. I am your host, Dalton Nicholas, and I am ready to give you a new episode. It is a couple of days late, I do admit. Sometimes you just get a creative funk and you're not really in the mindset to be creative. And I was really focusing in on my own workout schedule, my own nutrition, focusing in on that. But, you know. No excuse realistically, but sometimes there's going to be times where I, you know, put it out a couple of days late. So here we are a couple of days late, and I'm very happy that it is a couple of days late, because if I forced myself to put out the last episode I was going to do, it wasn't going to be nearly as good as this one. So I changed the topic, I found a spark, and I found something I'm very excited to talk to you all about today. If you are someone who is trying to become a trainer, trying to get into the training game, this will speak to you very well. Even if you aren't a trainer and aren't trying to be a trainer, if you're just a entrepreneur or someone who is currently giving time to an establishment for your or for money, this is going to speak to you very well. So, things we're going to talk about today. So, I called this episode The Trap of Personal Training. And I think it realistically, effectively happens in every career when you first start out. Like, you're either grinding super hard to make more money, and then you kind of get a little burnt out, and then you realize, hey, there's got to be better ways to make money than this. But before we get into the overview, I just want to say real quick, shout out to everybody who has picked something up from the Lux collection that released this spring. We are doing incredible, and for the month of July, all the profits that are made will be going to Black Lives Matter. We're going to donate it at the end of the month. We're going to post it on our Instagram. So if you haven't picked anything up from this collection, if you want to help a good cause in addition to supporting the podcast and the clothing brand and me, that is your chance. Into the overview, we're going to talk about what is the trap. What am I talking about? Why is personal training not necessarily everything you first thought it was going to be when you first get into training? Next, we're going to talk about how you determine if you're in the trap. We're going to talk about work-life balance, a lot of those type of ideas. Lots of roads that lead to the trap. How do you even get mixed up in the situation that we are talking about? The ultimate downfall of trainers. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. We're going to talk about how to improve or stay away from said trap. And we're also going to talk about some other solutions while you're in the trap. So what is the trap? Start it off strong. What is the trap that I am talking about? I am talking about trading your time for money. And it is so hard to not do this as a trainer, because it is the only way that you really learn how to make money. But it is not. And we're going to talk about that later on. But the trap is trading your time for money. And it really sets up a bad work-life balance at the beginning. Especially when you're grinding, just getting clients and stuff like that. It's pretty addictive. It's a pretty addictive feeling to get new clients. And that rush that you get when you're just getting clients left and right, and you have a lot. But I'm telling you, fam, if you finally get to like 30 hours of training, or even like 20 hours of training and like 10 classes that week, it's a lot, man. It is a lot to deal with. So it really creates a hard work-life balance, because not only are you working a lot, but it's usually pretty inconvenient times, or very convenient times for your client, but not super convenient for you. You work from like 5 a.m. in the morning until 10 a.m. and then everybody's like either at work or whatever. You have like a 5-hour gap, and then people get out of work at like 4 o'clock or whatever, and you're training until like 9 o'clock at night, and it's just a very tough schedule. So that is part of the trap as well. thinking that you'll be happier when you have 40 hours of clients. Yo, realistically, man, I don't care who you are. If you have this type of energy where you're able to train for 40 hours worth of clients and still have the same upbeat energy and like motivating and inspiring energy, you are a literal robot. God bless you. I don't know how you do it. I'm obviously always trying to improve the amount of people I can train and still keep that high energy, but eventually like shit will get mundane. So I think personally, I find the sweet spot for training people is around 20 hours a week. And I do find that in most job situations. I've never really been someone who has really enjoyed working at one establishment for 40 hours. I've always rather have two part-time jobs at 20 hours and be able to get a new scenery every once in a while. But that's just me. I think the other part of the personal training trap is just the focus on creating one-on-one sessions as opposed to group sessions, which is the much better investment of your time. If you've worked in a franchise gym, if you've worked at a private gym, a studio, wherever you've worked, obviously you might think you enjoy doing one-on-ones better, and you may, but realistically, if you're doing three people at $20 a person for an hour, you're making $60. And if you say do one person for an hour and it's 45, whatever it may be, you're going to make more money the more people that you train at once. The last thing I want to talk about for what I think the trap is as a personal trainer is just filling your schedule with classes. And when it's almost always beneficial for you to teach less classes, depending on how the pay structure is for a class. I've seen some really successful trainers have way too many classes on their schedule as opposed to just getting in some group sessions, but everybody's different. And that's kind of it's going to be a theme that I talk about here, because every single person's personal training experience and, you know, business and life experience is going to be so different. But this is something I definitely feel as if new trainers should be looking out for. Because yes, when you're new, you want to get your name out there and you want to do a bunch of classes. But if you're only getting paid, if you're missing clients for classes, that's the problem. If you are having to cancel on clients or like not be able to pick up more clients because of the time slot for the class, that's an issue. So that's pretty much what the trap is, man. You're trading money, or you're trading your time for money. You're in the gym like 24 hours a day. Like you're very much living at the gym at this point, because that's how you make money when you first get in. You gotta be there to train, you gotta be there for floor hours, you gotta be there for classes. You're just kind of living in the gym, and it's like, it feels very like, it almost feels like, I don't want to say, you're kind of getting like pledging into the gym. It almost feels like you got to like earn your spot in the gym. You got to do all the boring floor hours. You got to do whatever class slots they'll give you. You have to, you know, take whatever clients you can get when you first get in there. But taking those time slots that may affect you negatively, or taking those clients that definitely affect you negatively, that has a bigger diminishing return than you can realize at the time. You're obviously excited to be making money, and yes, you're trying to get your career off the ground, but I'm saying after you are off the ground, you need to then take a step back and reanalyze all the situations that you've been okay with when you first got in there. But that was just identifying the trap. That's what I personally feel like personal training can be when you first start off. We're going to talk about how detrimental the trap is for your work-life balance. No matter the job that you have, if you're trading your time for money, there will always be opportunities for issues to arise. But in training, if you're not at the gym, you're not making money. So that's the biggest issue for personal trainers. If you are not at the gym training people, you are not making money if you're a traditional personal trainer. And that's tough. So but you also don't have to just worry about that. Like, you have to worry about holidays, every person's holiday. You have to worry about people getting sick. You have to worry about you getting sick. You don't get paid those same training hours when you're sick. Vacations that you take, those are always big hits for personal trainers. And I think that is probably one of the most crucial things to understand when you're going to be a personal trainer, is if you are just going to try to be traditional and train in a gym, you are going to be in a gym until you're fucking 50. And that's brutal. it's really not a smart way to go about it, training. Some people may want to eventually own the gym. Some people may want to go other directions. We're going to talk more about what directions I think people should go in after, in a couple of topics after this. But that was, it's a big thing to realize, like, if you're not in the gym, you're not getting paid, or if you take a vacation, you're not getting paid. Those are some very big negatives to personal training. Obviously, there's pros too, but okay, so the schedule is always accommodating to the clients. I talked about this a little bit already, but each situation is different. But honestly, like I said, most people want to train between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. and then after work. So you're really having like, it's similar to how a bus driver has to pick the kids up in the morning, sit around, do whatever they do, and then pick the kids up again and bring them home at 3 o'clock. Similar for personal trainers, just bigger hours, right? 5 to 10 a.m., that's a 5-hour day. And then you go home, do whatever you got to do, and then train sometimes till 9, 10 o'clock at night, depending on what you're doing. That's a 10-hour day of training. So if you're doing that 5 days a week, yo, that's a 50-hour week. That's a lot of mental capacity and a lot of your time, yo. So it's a big, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to maintain that schedule, especially with your, depending on how fast you get to sleep or like what other real life things you have to do once you get out of the gym. The schedule is always going to accommodate the clients until you get to a certain point, and then you can make it accommodate you. And once you hit that 2-year, 3-year period where you're able to make the schedule really work your way, that's when you're winning in this department. But at the beginning of all of this, it's not going to work your way most of the time. Another thing for work-life balance is sometimes, this is very, I talk about this often whenever I talk to anybody about personal training, but there's always a pressure to look like a model. And I understand both sides. This is why it's so difficult, to really say that there's a right or a wrong. I think it's a huge gray area. Obviously you want to have someone who looks motivating to you or looks like they know what they're talking about. But people are going to go through phases in life. Maybe something happens in their romantic life where it's really sad and they're going through a phase and they might gain a little bit of weight. Or the opposite, something really, you know what I mean? There's so many situations that can affect how you look if you are an emotional person, like most people are, or very in tune with their outside life. Everybody has a life outside of the gym that will affect what they do in the gym and how they look everywhere, because you're not able to just handle grief or handle depression and then just bottle it up, yo. Everybody reacts to it differently, and it's gonna change the way that trainers look throughout their life. So I think that is a pretty big mental strain on most trainers. And I haven't even touched females. Y'all will have babies and like have to deal with the post pregnancy situation, and that I can't even imagine how powerful the strain is on you guys to snap back after that if you're a trainer. And that's a whole nother side of it as well. These are just some things that kind of just stink about being a personal trainer, if you understand what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that everything about being a personal trainer is tough, but I guess this is more like a warning signs for anybody looking to get into it. And I don't want to deter people from being a personal trainer, because all of the pluses and pros, like making an impact on people's life, is amazing. But these are just like a little eye-opening conversations to have. And hopefully, especially if anybody is listening who works with a personal trainer, maybe you'll be a little bit more appreciative with said trainers. But yeah, there's more than this. I just didn't really want this to... There's definitely more things that are affecting your work-life balance as a trainer. But it's so like situational-based. I didn't want to get too far into it. And also, I didn't want to just bag on like... I didn't want to make this podcast just me complaining about some things that I feel are tough as a personal trainer, if that makes sense. So we'll talk about some things that lead to the trap, and most of the time it's self-induced or outside pressure. If there's another way that you could see how you kind of get stuck in the personal training trap of trading time for money, please let me know. But those are pretty much the main ones that I find. You're so excited when you first start training that getting new clients and acquiring more hours in the gym where you love to be. Most people who start training are starting training because they love the gym, they love the culture, they love helping people, etc. You're very excited about this and it's addicting, but not every client is a walk in the park. And once you start to lose the honeymoon factor of being a personal trainer and the excitement of just getting started and helping people, you might not enjoy being in the gym 24/7. And you might actually start to resent it, to be honest. And that part's tough. Once you start resenting the gym, I don't want to say get out of personal training, because there's so many different things you can do with personal training. But once you start to resent it, you really need to like have some you time and realign how you feel about everything. Because once you start to resent the gym, it's getting very dangerously close to you just kind of like hanging it up and not enjoying your job, which is, everybody wants to enjoy their job. If you enjoy what you're doing, right, you're not working a day in your life. There is some clients that I have that it just feels like I'm hanging out with them when we are working out, and that's amazing. And those kind of connections is why I love my job so much. But there's also clients that I would never speak to and that I would never speak to outside of the one-on-one session that we have. And that's life, and every job's gonna have their, you know, down moments, especially in services. But you know, you will not only have good clients. Once you get to this point, lots of people stop training themselves or stop training other people, and it's probably right around the area where you start to rethink if you're about this career. I don't stop, man. When I was at this point, I had so much support from mentors and bosses at the gym saying, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, because they've seen it before. And I think it's probably, I would say 1 year. If you're not like successful in 1 year of training, a lot of people will probably give up. But it's definitely, it's really rewarding when you come out on the other side, as I personally did. Because getting started in the fitness industry is very tough, very, very tough. I think classes are probably the best place to start and the worst place to end, if that makes sense. You get all your clientele through the class, and then you got to kind of step outside of your shell and get away from the classes so that you can do more one-on-one sessions or group sessions. I think, so talking about outside pressure, once you are in the gym, the gym is going to probably pressure you to take as many clients and classes as you physically can. And you are definitely, when you're new, you're going to want to say yes to every opportunity you can get. But I wouldn't even say a year, probably 7 or 8 months into it, you're going to like start to probably burn out if you're taking a lot of classes off of people's hands or a lot of sessions, etc. And it's obviously success and it's good, but you need to start, you know, blocking out time for yourself or making sure that you're taking care of what you need to take care of, because it can get out of hand. And I've seen people go absolutely crazy, 40, 50 hours in the gym plus 11 classes a week. It's like, I don't even know how you function outside of the gym. And it wears on you. It wears on you, and it's going to wear on you and your relationships, friends, partners, whatever you have. Family, you know what I mean? It's going to weigh on those relationships too, because you're just working yourself to the bone. My sweet spot, I think I've already said this, is around 20 hours of clients, like actual one-on-one situations. And I have some other things that I'll talk about afterwards that add to my 20 hours that are not necessarily communicating directly. Another thing that is self-induced when you're getting into this trap for time for money is the money that you make when you're training over 30 hours a week is fucking nice. It is really good money, especially when you've been grinding for so long to even get close to this amount of money. Once you start hitting that 30 hours a week, 30 sessions basically, depending on what your time sessions are, you're making some really good money. And It's addicting, man. You'll probably be going out doing nicer things, buying nicer gym like clothes, buying extra supplements. Whatever you do with that money is very addicting to have that. And I would say that's obviously self-induced, but I wonder how long you can keep it. And if you're able to do all of this stuff for 30 hours, if you're able to train over 30 hours a week and stay like super motivating and high energy and do all the stuff that you do in the gym and outside of the gym, that's a clap for you, fam. You keep going. This is not the podcast for you. I'm impressed, to be honest with you. And shout out, I do know a couple of people who are doing this, and they're very big inspirations to me, and maybe one day I'll get there, but not yet, fam, not yet. I've still got, I've got a lot of projects I'm working on outside of the gym that I like doing a lot more than training for 30 hours a week, so we'll see where I am in a couple of years, and then we'll go from there. At this point, I want to take a second to get the sponsor ran through the video. So thank you for listening up until this point. These sponsorships are one way to help keep the podcast going and pay for new equipment and stuff like that. So roll it. Okay. Boom. And we're back. Thank you for listening to that. Helps us keep the podcast going. On to the ultimate downfalls of trainers. So it's kind of been the theme. These are the things that I think will hurt you the most while you're trying to be a trainer. Overworking. That's it. You're going to overwork, overtrain yourself. Not just while you're working out. If you do a lot of classes and you have to do a lot of a lot of demonstrations, you're going to end up overworking your muscles, and that may lead to injuries, which if you have an injury, it's going to be very hard for you to go to the gym and train. And that's another issue of trainers, is if your clients or you get injured, you're not making money that day, and that's tough. Or that, you know, depending on the severity of the injury, you might be down for 3 months, they might be down for 3 months, and you lose that income. And that's kind of like, it's a very volatile career, because, you know, people come, people go on vacations, people, you know what I mean, move out of the area, and sometimes that's really tough to maintain. The client trainer relationship. So that's a downfall of it as well. The more you work the insane hours, you'll lose the spark, and you can always regain the spark too, but losing that spark sucks, man. Once you stop liking what you're doing, it's no bueno. We talked about the injuries, client schedules and life playing into effect. We talked about the holidays, but, it's not just whatever holidays you celebrate, everybody's holidays, and not just one client, you know? Say 8 of your clients all celebrate this one holiday, you're missing 8 clients that day. That's brutal. That's really brutal. Obviously, people can schedule around it and stuff, but, you know, Christmas breaks, summer vacations, those are big, long vacations of lost income. And unless you're good with your budgeting and your spreadsheets, if you will, you cannot be ready for it, and that you can take a little hit. So the main glaring issue with being a trainer is the fact that you have no passive income. If you are not in the gym, you are not making money. So that is the biggest issue I have with training, and that is why I'm here to kind of give you a solution, or bring it to light so you can find your own solution on how to do it. And this is the part where if you're a hair salon person, if you are an esthetician, if you are any person who has like a client and they provide, if you provide services to a client, you're gonna need some form of passive income. Because if you're not working with those clients, or those clients disappear, you're not making any money. Or if you go on vacation, you're not making any money. Or if you take the day off, you're not making any money. And that is what's going to be the most detrimental thing to your work-life balance, is the fact that you think you always have to be at work. And, you know, partly true, because if you're not there, you're not making any money. But we'll talk about the passive incomes in a minute. Another thing that I am talking about, which could also be applied to any sort of clientele-based service, the split with the gym or wherever, like your establishment, basically, is always going to be a downfall for you. I would try to, if you're at a high enough level where you can negotiate just paying like a one-time month fee, and then you get to keep whatever you need to, you know what I mean? So I think that would be really good, because some of these gyms, it's like 60-40, 50-50, you know, I would say like 70-30 would be the best bet, but even then I'm like, man, I need to get to a point where I'm able to just say, hey, here's $1,000 for the month, and not have to tell them anything about the income that I'm making off of that thousand. You know what I mean? Because if you're making, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a month from training at that place, you would rather have like a set up rent per month as opposed to the split. Once you get into those hot, like $3,000-$4,000 a month, it's much better to have a rent based system with a gym. Or if you can get out of that entirely and work with people remotely, work with people at their places, have them come to you if you have a garage, work with them in the park, like public boot camps you can do. There's a lot of ways to get around this, and most people are just too comfortable being at a gym. You know what I mean? You got to get a little bit more creative when you work with people at their house. You got to get a little bit more creative with your queuing and stuff when you're talking to people via video or Skype or Zoom, Discord, whatever you may use. It's definitely a little tougher, but it's a lot more rewarding because you keep 100% of the profit, right? Yeah, so those are all of the downfalls to training. If you have any extra thoughts on this, please leave it in the comments below or DM me on Instagram. I'd love to talk about this more. At Lifting Standards on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. At Lifting Standards Training on Instagram as well for more podcast-related and training stuff. I post on my story there daily if you want to check that out or talk about any of this. All right, how do we fix this? How do we at least fix what we can, what we have control over? Because obviously it's not going to be any better. Like, if you want to, if you love training people, you're going to want to keep training people, right? So you could charge more for your time. Once you get to a busier schedule and you are having a hard time fitting people in, charge more money for those prime time slots. Between 8 and 11 o'clock, you charge $100 an hour. And if people don't want to pay that, they don't want to pay that. But there will be people who want to pay that if you are good to them, if they like your training style, if you're motivating, if you're up, you know what I mean? And that is where most people don't want to do that. They never want to increase their prices, and that's fine, but you're going to be working more and more hours. If you are to charge, say, $20 extra for those time, you could probably take a whole day off and still make the same amount of money. And that sounds good to me, man. Working less and earning the same, that's always a good thing. So you could always charge more for your time, because you are the commodity. You determine the supply and demand. Obviously, they determine the supply, the demand, but you are the supply. So you always could charge whatever you want, as long as people are paying it, it's within reason. You should try to increase numbers of people training with you, or you should try to make groups. You should always try to increase the amount of people you're training in that same slot. Everybody's not going to go for it, but first of all, group workouts, people can be more motivated through group workouts than one-on-ones because they work with each other, right? And they're competing with each other, whether this is partners, whether this is just friend groups. I find that people do get motivated a lot more in a group setting. Some people get more motivated in a group setting, but you're always going to earn more money from that. If you charge $45 for an hour of a one-on-one session and you charge $20 a piece for a three-person session, boom, you just made $60 instead of $45. Easy peasy, same hour. Don't be bullied into taking classes, especially at time slots where you have clients normally. You know, you're making money for the gym. The gym isn't necessarily making money for you all the time. So you should be really, I don't want to say selfish, but you should be really strong with your word in negotiations with gyms, and strong with your own schedule. Like, you determine your own schedule. That's probably the biggest plus of being a personal trainer, so don't let other people try to change that on you, unless they're a client most of the time. If you can create your own space or location to train for free with no split, that is the best way to do things. Even if it's not a huge gym, garage, outside in the park, you know, that's where you're going to make the most money, and you might have a lot more fun too. It's fun being creative. If you enjoy making people sweat, if you enjoy working with people and help them get their goals, and you go outside and you only have two pairs of dumbbells and some bands, it's a lot more creativity that goes into the thought process for the workout, as opposed to if you're in a gym with every machine possible and every piece of equipment possible. Something that a lot of my mentors and colleagues would do when I was in a gym environment is they would implement a cancellation policy, and I think it's amazing. Personally, if it's within 24 hours and they didn't give me a if they cancel within 24 hours, I still get paid half of the session. And I know people who charge the full session. I just personally, if you don't answer, this is where I get the full. If you don't tell me that you're not going to be there, and then it comes time for the session and I'm just sitting waiting for you, that's full price. But if you text me like an hour, even 2 hours before, and hey, I'm not going to be able to make it, at least give me any amount of heads up, I'm only taking half. But, and you could do that. You could do a pay ahead, like monthly schedule. And if their schedule is messing up with hitting the total number of sessions, you could blame it on them and take your money too. It's all about what type of personality you are and how much you are really trying to increase your monetary net at the end of the month. So those are all the solutions about like actual one-on-one training and things like that, like how you could improve there. Now I'm going to talk about other solutions to make sure that you're not trading your time for money, because that is the biggest issue with being a personal trainer. You should work on some other skills that you can monetize, because we talked about how you have all this downtime because people really only want to train between 5 a.m., 10 a.m., then you have all the way until probably like 4 o'clock before you have more clients. You could work on some other stuff, graphic design, podcasting skills, artwork. You could sell art. You could work on music. You could do a bunch of different things. There's probably a way to monetize damn near everything, every skill that you have. So you could work on something else outside while you have your downtime. That is also a monetization tool. So that is the number one thing I would say that you should do, just to have some other sort of skill, because I think that personal training, I mean, unless you really want to be in the gym that crazy amount of time, personal training isn't going to be a one and done type of career, in my opinion. I think a lot of people use personal training as well as have another job of some sort, or at least another stream of income. So working on some other skills is one. You should create another income outside of just the gym. If you're thinking of just fitness, online coaching, you could do modeling if that's the type of physique you have all the time. You could do an influencer account on Instagram, TikTok, you know, any sort of social media. If you're doing fitness, you would probably be able to do pretty well. Even a podcast like I'm doing here, we earn money off the ad revenue. Even nutritional wise, you could do nutritional only clients online, and those are all like one time paid at the beginning of the month. You send out a program and it's done. You could also create ebooks, pre-made programs people can buy on a website, which we're going to get into, creating a brand around yourself so it's not just you training people. Because like, say you have 30 clients and you start a brand, like if you're instead of just insert your first and last name here training, if you have like Lifting Standards Training and now you have a brand, so those 30 people who like training with me who might want to rock some stuff of my training would pick up clothing. You kind of see where I'm getting going with this, right? Like, you're able to monetize your training in an outside way. It's not just about the training. Like, they're a part of a community. They're a part of a brand. They're excited to rep a brand, if you will. And it's not just merchandise. It could be, like I said, a podcast, a website with monthly costs where you do blogs, where you do exclusive content on there, videos, pre-made programs or ebooks. It could be a bunch of things. And you could probably think of more things. This is just saying you can make money outside of training around fitness, and that where it creates not just time for money exchange. You are making it, you make one program, put it up there for $5, you know, 10 people get it, $50 extra income a month. That's pretty easy to hit, I would think, especially if you're already training 30 people. Maybe some people that you have met in the past aren't able to train with you anymore, but they really want to do some more of your programming. They could just go there and pick up one of your programs, man. Easy peasy. Oh, and the last thing I would say is just try to make it outside of an establishment, man. I've already kind of talked about this a lot, but the 30% that you're missing out on, or 40% that you're missing out on that the gym is taking, and you're putting in all that work, like, you really could just be making that money. You could be making that money. It's just you got to take a little bit of a risk involved, because obviously having the established gym is nice, and having the flow of clientele possibly is really, really nice in a gym. But maybe one of those skills you learn is like online marketing or the influencer thing, where you're able to advertise yourself and get clients that way. So, in conclusion, big take-home ideas for the podcast. I want to just say that passive income is essential to help your work-life balance. Trading your time for money is just, it's always going to lead to some issues or maybe a little unhappiness with your work, and you kind of resent it at some point. So really, if you're just, even if it's stocks or investment portfolios or real estate or whatever, those are like bigger things and a little bit more realistic than, say, like starting a YouTube channel or something. But you could at least be doing something. There is stuff that you could do for free to try to make a monetary or a monetization. You can make so many things a monetized tool that could create passive income for you. It's silly to not have started already, because the longer you go, the more successful it'll be. Like said podcast, right? Like, or even, even the YouTube. Like, I don't know what YouTube's requirements are to get paid, but if you start posting your workouts there, you get ad revenue off of that. Like, there's so many ways to make passive income. You just got to figure out what you like and what you can continually do, and that will help you create it. But there's also like the real world, like stock options, real estate, things that you can do outside of the gym that will help boost your income. I think that something that I did when I was very early on is, like, I was thinking I wanted to be training 30 hours a week, but I really don't think that should be your end goal. I think your end goal should be making like a ridiculously high number per hour, because you are in so demand that you have to do it. I think that should be the end goal. I think your time, you should want your time valued so high that you're like making a very nice chunk of change per session, and monetizing outside of the gym floor. I think you should take care of yourself first, because the clients will always be there, the gym will always be there, and they will always hire a new trainer once you're gone. So you should really, really take care of yourself first. I'm not saying to screw over big establishments or friends or anything like that, because they will be giving you like your first attempt at being a personal trainer, right? Eventually, unless you're just starting off right out the gate by yourself, like online marketing yourself. But you should take care of yourself first, because it's very easy to get caught up in the 40 hours a week at the gym, even if it's like through floor hours, training, or classes. It's a lot, man. It's a lot to be there for that long and to keep up the high energy that is needed with said activities. And I also wanted to say this timeline is more than just the first year. Like, I don't want people who are just getting into it to like use any of the stuff I listed prior to this section as an excuse. Like, once you get year two or three and you're doing really good, or even like year four, you can start like changing the way you think about these opportunities that you're getting. At the beginning, I definitely want you to say yes to almost every opportunity that you can, but you should still keep yourself in mind, because if you are doing way too many classes, way too many clients, you're going to lose some of your momentum. And that's huge. And people will notice, and they probably will say something. But yeah, don't use this podcast as an excuse to say no to a bunch of opportunities that you get. I want you to just instead take the opportunities and take them with like a grain of salt. Like, be aware of what's happening, and then once you hit a point where you feel like you are successful enough, or you are in a safe enough spot where you can start, you know, charging more or taking less classes, etc., do that. I want to say thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Lifting Standards podcast. Every other Monday, there will be a podcast out. And on my Instagram, I will be posting clips from this podcast, taking new topics for next week, and hopefully next week we have a guest. I would really like to get into having guests again. So with that being said, thank you very much for tuning in, and I hope you all have a great day. Peace.